Hello.
Hello, this is Rajesh.
Hey, Raj, how are
Hello.
you? Hi, Johan here. Hold on,
Michael.
everybody. All right, Michael, Johan, Raj. Jennifer is there. Who else?
Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hi, Ed.
Hi, Tori.
How are you?
Do you think?
Hey, it's Mike here.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you? How are things in the UK?
Very good, thanks. Sunny at the moment, which is shocking.
That's always good.
Yeah.
Well, Scott.
Hi, Masak Tori here.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, very good. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
I'm not sure if Peter's going to make the call today.
Yeah, he said that he's driving back from London. So, depends on the traffic.
Scott's here.
Hey, Scott.
Ken Jones is here as well.
Dr. Jones.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
How are you? I'm
You
good.
don't have your schedule in front of you, do you?
My calendar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to meet for lunch sometime next week?
Sure.
29th, Tuesday?
Tuesday the 29th, you and I are having lunch.
Okay.
What
what what time?
I don't care.
How about 12 noon?
12 noon on the 29th. Pick a place.
Now, that's a problem for me. I don't know many places. Is there a place around you that that you like?
Do you like Vietnamese?
Sure.
Okay, then we'll go Vietnamese. I'll send you the address. It's near your office.
Oh, great.
All right. It's over on Convoy Street.
Perfect. That's great.
They got good Vietnamese food.
That's great. All right. So 12 noon, 29th of June, Converse Street. And you're going to be a little bit more specific. That's
Convoy
great.
Street. And I'll,
okay.
I don't know the address. I'll just send it to you. Sounds
Thanks,
like a
Ed.
plan.
Thank you
Thank
very
you.
much.
All right, let's see who else is here now. Jennifer.
Yes.
Christy. Cristiano.
Yes, hi.
Claire Coles. Jeff. Tatiana.
I'm here, Ed.
Lee is always here. I think I owe you an email. Tom Blanchard and Sandra Mooney.
Yep. Sandra's here.
Okay. Bill Barnett.
I'm here.
Tom Donaldson.
Ed, hello.
Hey, Tom. Kathy on by any chance?
Not today. She's speaking.
John Hannigan. Bill and Dale.
Bill's here.
Okay. Helen.
I'm here, sorry. I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on the call that I didn't mention? Okay, well.
Ed, I said June, but I really meant May 29th, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. John Hannigan, any chance? I wanted to wait for John, but the Science Advisory Board's a little lacking today. I think Dan Savage is having a reverse site visit, and Sarah Jo Nixon, as you know, her mom passed away, and she's on her way to the funeral, or the memorial service. So we won't have their input, but a few things. We're going to be meeting in San Diego at the RSA meeting, and I want to clarify a few things about that meeting. It's a meeting for us to get together to deal with some specific items, as well as to get an update on what's been accomplished during the past year. It looks like rather than start at 3 o'clock, we'll start at around 3:30, but some people are getting in a little close to 3, and 3:30 might be a better starting time, and I hope that works for everybody. It's scheduled to 9, but I doubt if it will go past 7 or 7:30. There are a number of dining options nearby, so people from the East Coast might want to bring a little snack to the meeting. I understand that you'll be 3 hours ahead. And so it might be dinner time for you, while us on the West Coast are still doing okay. But we will not be going till 9 o'clock unless we have an all-out brutal fight about something, which I sincerely doubt.
I will be present. I'm just putting that out there. This is Jill.
You get to all meet Jill.
I was trying to make a joke.
Yeah, I got it. I'm ready for the fight.
But John, you're there.
We're laughing with
John's there. We're still waiting. I'm assuming that Michael Charnas is going to be there. Jennifer's going to be there. Tatiana is going to be there. Tom Blanchard, I'm not sure about. And Helen, I'm not sure about.
Tom Blanchard will not be there.
Okay. And Helen?
No, I will not be there, sorry.
Okay. We just want to get a count of people, and so that'll help us out with our plans. The agenda for that meeting is going to focus on a few topics, and we will send out these with more description in a little bit. The first topic, I think, is going to deal with resource sharing, what each project is collecting and how we can best utilize their resources to assist other projects. And how we can facilitate the sharing of those resources. So if people need things, they know who might have the access to them and how we can get them. In line with that, we need a discussion on the consent forms and the IRBs. We are having difficulty with some of the data requests that we're having, getting in, because the consent forms were not comprehensive enough or generic enough to allow us to share the data with some or some of the data. So we're going to try to resolve that, and I know that Leah has been sending out information, and I probably am not up to date on that as I should be. Leah, do you have any comments about that? Consents in the IRBs?
I know that Tatiana talked to Bill Dunty yesterday, and she wants to talk about it when she's back. I think we basically have to look at all the old consents and just see who had broad sharing and who didn't.
Okay. So that's going to be a topic. We'd like to make the consent as generic as possible, with common language, if it's possible to get that approved, that goes in so that we don't run into this data sharing problem for this current round anyway. So there are two items on the agenda, and then there will be brief progress updates. I'm kind of thinking about 5 minutes of project, concentrating basically on what you've accomplished during the past year. We don't need to know what you promised to do. We need to know what you did. Even if that's, well, we recruited 10 subjects, we collected blood on them, where you are in terms of the deliverable after 1 year. And so that's what those 5 minute things will be. This there is time. We're also going to talk a little bit about how we might interact with the other centers, such as New Mexico and Binghamton and the Children's Brain Health Network, if there are things that CFAS can do with them. Then there's some individual components that want to discuss certain things, and hopefully we'll have time for them. But we're going to talk primarily about the IRBs, sharing of resources, consents, and a review of the coordination among the projects, how we can better share the data. So are there any questions about that? All right, so we'll try to get a form.
Bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we also want to tackle or revisit the issue about tracking progress for the projects? I know that NIAAA, you and Jill looked at it a couple months ago, but that may be something we want to revisit at the face-to-face or prior to the face-to-face.
Sounds like a possibility. How we can formally track progress on the various projects. And we might get a better idea about that after we hear what people managed to accomplish in this year, see what we need to include in that. But I think we can probably get something together to discuss for this meeting at RSA. Couple of things. Jill, you're sharing your screen. If you can put up the CIFS data at RSA. Can everybody see that?
Yes.
Okay, you may have to press the CIFS data tab at the top. But if you look down there, I think CFAS is well represented. At the RSA meeting, and I want to thank everybody for submitting and getting CFAS name out there. Thank Michael putting together a symposium. And I think we should be relatively pleased with our participation in the RSA meeting. The other thing is we have a new publication on the screen, hopefully now.
Ed, real quick, before you move on, I would just make a plug that Tina and I put together a session that has some CFAST investigators in it that will be speaking. I don't remember which day it is, but I'm not sure if it's on Jill's slides or not, but I think it may be Monday morning.
Jill, you want to find that on there? Because I know you wouldn't have overlooked.
I typed in CFAST, and that's what I put up for this particular search. I'll do a more comprehensive search after the call.
All right. Well,
I can send you that. No, that's okay. Like Claire and Julie are participating, and so anyway.
I think it's on the second page near the bottom.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.
No, I'm sorry I didn't point that out. Overlooked you guys.
No worries.
Okay. Pardon? And then we have the this new publication that came as a collaboration among several projects from Ukraine on altered maternal immune networks and adverse child neurodevelopment. And so just so everyone's aware of that, so that's always good to see another CFAST publication. All right, are there any issues before we move on to the presentation today, the WebExes? So Tom and Sandra, do you...
This is Jill. I just have two things. One, if you can send me your notice of grant award for your year two, that would be very helpful. And two, is someone logged into the WebEx as Waterville?
Yeah, that's
Peter.
Oh, okay.
That's Peter Hammond.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and then Jill, so can then you turn it over to Tom and Sandra?
Yes, which of you will be having the screen?
I will be, Sandra.
Okay, I'll select you.
Okay.
Now from the Quick Start tab, if you hit Share Your Screen, we should be good to go.
Okay, hang on. Is that working?
Yep. Perfect.
Yep. Okay. Let me start out and say that I'm battling a cold, so if my voice gets a little funny, you'll just have to kind of laugh at me in the background. So when we talked to you guys back in February, one of the things that we decided to do was change a little bit the model that we were using to look at the microbiome changes in the gut flora. And so we have done that, and we have the BioCAC approval, and we've started working with it. And so now we've separated our M1 into 1A and 1B. And, you know, there's various ins and outs of sort of why we did it and how we did it. But essentially what we do is we have a group of animals that are getting their alcohol in liquid diet, and they get that Monday through Thursday. And then they're on a defined pellet diet on Friday through Sunday, and they just have regular water access the whole time. The females have been on this diet now for about 8 weeks, and we're starting the breeding. And our second group, we have animals that are getting alcohol and water, similar to the model that Dan Savage uses. These get alcohol Monday through Friday, but just for 4 hours each day. We do find they're drinking about the same amount of alcohol as Dan reports that his rats do, and they're also on a defined palated diet for the rest of the day. So we've controlled that as much as we can. And then Saturday, Sunday, they're just on regular water as the other groups are. So, excuse me. Again, we have 20 rats that we started. There's five in each of the groups, so there's five alcohol-exposed and five control animals for the liquid diet. There's five and five for the alcohol in water. They are at about week 8 or 9, and what I'm going to show you is some of the microbiome analysis done just for week 0, 2, and 4. The person who's working on this is still collecting or still processing for RNA and running the analyses. So exactly the same as I showed you in February, we have a universal primer that recognizes a number of different taxa, and then we have specific primers for the Bacteroidetes, Firmicutes, and Gamma proteobacteria. So this is where we have, so I will say that even though we do have 5 animals in each group, not all of these graphs represent 5 in each group because there were some problems with some of the samples or some of the plates. So here I'm just showing you the universal primer, and you can see that there's a little bit of a change in these across the first 4 weeks, with the alcohol-exposed animals showing fewer changes in cycle to threshold. You see that the y-axis is upside down, and that's because when the cycles and threshold gets lower, it means there's more bacteria. So I did the graph so that where there's more bacteria, the lines go upwards, which means that the y-axis is upside down. So there's not a whole lot of movement in the control animals here in the black line or the blue line, and then both of the alcohol-exposed groups are a little on the higher. Again, remembering that every one cycle to threshold change is actually a doubling or a halving of the amount of bacteria. I'm not completely convinced that the streamline's absolutely correct. It may be that there was something odd at week 0 with some of those. But anyway, so there's a little bit of a change, and we'll see how stable that is when Liz gets it finished. Bacteroidetes, there's not really a whole lot of difference. Everything's hovering around the no change mark. And much the same with the Firmicutes, although it's going up slightly in all of them. And then the gamma proteobacteria, this is the one that seems to be really low abundance, and so it's just highly variable, and I wouldn't put any credence in this right now at all, unfortunately, but we're still working on that and doing a little bit of troubleshooting around it. So to wrap up, obviously we're going to finish the weeks 6 and 8 and see how that all shakes out for everything. The rats have been on their alcohol regimen for 8 to 9 weeks, and we've begun doing the mating, and hopefully at the meeting in June I'll be able to tell you that we have a slew of pregnant animals here in the facility. That's it.
Any questions?
So I'd just like to, I'm glad you're being so careful and not trying to overstate these results that you're considering still preliminary, and I appreciate the care you're taking in making sure at this early stage it's being worked out carefully. So.
Okay. Thanks.
And then, how often are you sampling from the pups?
This is the adult females that will become the dams, and we're sampling every 2 weeks. From
right,
these
on the
guys.
All right, so
from
you're
the pups,
going to sample every 2 weeks on the offspring as well?
The pups, we're going to do birth, weaning, and then euthanasia.
Okay. Any other? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I mean, if you think that it makes sense to sample more often, I mean, you know, collecting the fecal pellets and doing the DNA extraction is sort of the easy part of it. The more data points we put in, the more complicated the analysis becomes, but, you know, we can figure that out.
I don't know anything about microbiome and how frequently you should do it to, you know, to feel that the data are reliable, so I'm of no help there.
Just a quick comment, Sandra. Would it be worthwhile sampling through the adolescent period into adulthood? Usually, those might be two periods where things start to stabilize out, and if there's permanent effects on the gut biome, you might see that.
We can talk about that. It's sort of complicated by some logistics. We'd have to look at how many of these pups we're planning on using, because if you recall, and I'm sure you don't, the plan for some of these is to work with them after weaning and change their housing conditions and see what that does to their microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
And then for others, do the fecal microbiota transplant and see what that does. So there may or may not be animals that we can keep through adulthood. It's a good question, though. And when we write the R grant in the next year, we can certainly consider putting that in.
Mm-hmm.
Any other comments? Okay. Okay, so now we can hear from the Tories.
Jill, do I need to do something to unshare, or do you just do that?
No, I'll do it. And then which of your screens would you like me to share?
Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So yeah. So the UX project, you know, try to define the, you know, biomarkers from the peripheral blood to predict the behavior, neurobehavior problem in FSD. M1 is simply, I could say, you know, the mouse animal, mouse study, and then M2 is, you know, using the human blood samples from Kinab cohort. So the M1, you know, we use alcohol exposure patterns that I show here, you know, 25% ethanol, IP2, late spring, and CD1 mouse. And these mouse show pretty normal, like, physical characteristics and also the behaviors, except the higher cognitive functions, such as motor learning. Here shows the example, you know, the we place these FPA mouse to the accelerated rotor rod. And you can see in the middle, you know, the figure, you know, the PA mouse shows, you know, the slow running to keep their body on the accelerated rotor rod. And the light figure shows the, you know, each dot shows the, you know, the learning index, learning ability of each of the animals. And you can see in the control, male, female, you know, the, you know, there are still variability in the learning, you know, the ability of each animal. But PA mouse shows the significantly lower, you know, learning index. But, you know, male, female shows a similar level of the, you know, the behavior problems. There are no sex differences. So here's my response with this project. So the first is, first we made the analysis pipeline. RNA profiling from the T-cell, B-cell monocytes by using the FACS sorting from the blood of these animals, which are placed to the rotor rod test. Then we performed the RNA sequencing from almost like 40 animals so far, around like 100, you know, the samples put in total. And we are now analyzing to define the biomarkers. And here I show, you know, briefly the, you know, the findings so far. So first, we obtained around 28,000 genes as the genes which are expressed in these cells. And among these genes, so we, you know, performed like a two major analysis to define the biomarkers. The first one is to perform the correlation analysis using the, this, you know, RNA expression profile and the learning index of each animal. And what we found is that, you know, when we use all cell type RNA-seq data around 100, you know, 100 samples, you know, we saw the kind of lower correlation rate with the index, learning index. But when we focus on the B cell or, you know, T cell, you know, the cell-specific, like, you know, the profiles, we found higher correlation with the learning index. So this means that, you know, we should, you know, analyze the biomarkers specifically in a specific type of the subset of the, in the immune cells. So the another, you know, the strategy to define the biomarker is simply we compare the gene expressions between the mouse which are exposed to alcohol and the control. And here shows an example using the B cell profile. And, you know, so using the FDR 0.5 as a, like a cutoff, we obtained like a 20 biomarkers here as I showed. So interesting thing is that, you know, within these 20 genes, we found, you know, enrichment of the genes which are relevant to the intellectual disability that is defined in the genomic studies using the human. So these are highlighted with blue. And the another interesting gene is the CD96, which is highlighted with yellow. So this is the also the you know, the gene which are relevant to the intellectual disability, but also this is a marker for subtype of the B cells. So meaning that, you know, the PA mouse, our mouse may have the you know, the differences in the you know, the generation of the B cells, meaning that maybe immune system may be compromised in PA mouse. The another indication of the complications of the immune system in PAE mouse is the gene which is highlighted with orange, CCL5, which is the cytokine gene. And, you know, because of this, you know, we also believe that, like, you know, Joanne's group is doing, you know, the cytokine system may be affected in this PAE model. So the, you know, yeah, sure.
Quick question. If you go back two slides.
Sure.
One more.
Yes.
So you mentioned the correlation here of 0.9 when you looked at genes that were typical of B cell, like a B cell profile. But did you look at other white blood cell profiles? And were those correlations high?
Right. So we also obtained the T cell and also the monocyte. And, you know, so all like B cell, T cell, monocytes, you know, so this like a specific cell type, you know, profiling have more better correlation when we see the running index compared with the analysis which include all of these B cell, T cell, you know, monocytes all together. So that's why, you know.
Oh, so when it says all, when it says all cell types, you're talking about all white blood cell types.
Well, this is actually the T cell, B cell, monocytes only. So basically, you know,
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, sure, thank you. So now, you know, I showed two analyses to define the biomarkers. So one is, you know, the based upon the Pearson correlation with the learning index. Another is based upon the expression differences between the alcohol exposure and the control exposure. So with these biomarkers, we then wanted to have a prediction of the, you know, the behavior problems, specifically the, you know, learning index on the lotter lot, you know, using the random forest algorithm. So the first, you know, the mouse are sorted to the three groups based upon the learning index: the normal learner, moderately affected learner, and severely affected learners. Then, you know, we performed the random forest using the biomarker that we defined with two strategies. First one is the B cell DEG that I showed in this, right? The second one is the genes which had the correlation with the learning index more than 0.75. So both of these two criteria include around like 20 genes. And, you know, with the random forest, you know, we got around 43% of the error rate with this, you know, B-cell DEG, and the 31% of the error rate using the, you know, the genes which are screened with the Pearson correlation. So it still has a little bit higher, you know, the error rate. So we will now, you know, trying to adjust to the, you know, the to have more like a better like a biomarker set. To, you know, change the regulatory analysis pipeline. So I now want to move to M2. So M2 has a milestone here, and the first is we already established the analysis pipeline. And then, so now we are in the milestone 2 to obtain the blood from the actually the human patient in PNAD cohort. And then after that, you know, we will perform the analysis like we did in the mouse model. And the most important thing that I want to today want to share with you guys is that, you know, the how, you know, the plan for integration of the multi-site data, omics data, to obtain high accuracy in the prognosis that we didn't discuss so far. So here is the, you know, the potential like a model that we can use to, you know, have the, you know, the integrated model of the multiple omics data in CFAS, like, you know, Rajesh's miRNA, you know, Joanne's like inflammasome analysis and our RNA-seq. So the left side shows the model called MBI, in which, you know, the each of the omics data has its own you know, prediction model, and then eventually integrated to the one model. So the advantage of this MBI model is that, you know, we don't need to use the same patient. So if the patients have the same like phenotype, like let's say FASD, you know, we can use the you know, the different, you know, the omics part of the data to have the one integrated model. The right side is the you know, the model which actually, you know, have the one single model from the omics data. And, you know, so this model's advantage is technically easier and also does not require a large set of the samples, but we need to have the omics data from the same patient. However, you know, I think, you know, the CFAS, you know, for example, the one the advantage of CFAS is to share the blood or like the samples between, you know, the same, from the same patient between the investigators. So I think, the technically easier, this light model might be the one which I think is better to try. The middle, you know, model is actually the kind of the mixed model of the right side and the left side model. So for the right side model, you know, there is an algorithm which is called iCluster, and I think this is a good way to go. So here shows the example how iCluster is used using the mesoblastoma patient samples. Here, the analysis was done using the CNB, the methylation analysis, and the messenger RNA profile. And the important thing is that, you know, this, you know, the iCluster can separate the subgroup of mesoblastoma patients using these, you know, the multiple omics data. And the important thing is that, you know, these three subgroups show the different probability of the survival as showed in the right side. So when we think about, you know, how we can integrate, you know, this strategy to our, you know, the samples is, you know, one, you know, potential proposal could be like, you know, for example, Rajesh has like mRNA data and we have a white blood cell transform. And, you know, Joanne has a serum inflammasome. And potentially, you know, because, you know, we keep the, some of the white blood cells from PNAD, you know, the, patient samples. Maybe, you know, Tatiana or somebody can do the genomics data as well. And then eventually, you know, with the newly classified, you know, the subgroup of the patients, we may be able to define the, novel, you know, the subgroup of the behavior traits or like the alcohol sensitivity. And we started to communicate with Sarah Matson, you know, to discuss these type of things. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Are there any questions? I have to admit that this is not my area of specialty, so really impressive what you are trying to do, but I can't offer any contribution.
Kazu, the slide that you have up right now, can you remind us, is this model using samples from the same patients? Or was this a model where each one of the data streams has its own model? if you go back one slide, you had one on the left, one on the right. What, so which one are you proposing? For CFAS data. I'm not sure if you're, if she's still there.
She should be.
Ozzy, are you muted?
They're on.
Sorry, I muted. I'm sorry. I propose to use the CBR model, and the for the CBR model we can use the iCluster. Yes. Sorry, I muted.
That's okay. So sorry. Can you go back? Which model? It's really hard to see the number or the letters. So you're saying
the
CBI
one.
Model.
Yeah.
The middle one.
High.
Okay. Okay.
Any other information?
And so just to clarify, with the TBI model, you're proposing that we don't necessarily need to have the same patient, the same sample from the same person.
So you mean CBI model?
Yes.
Or TBI model? CBI.
For the TBI model, we do not need the same.
Yeah, TBI model we don't need. So basically, if you want to have that, if you have the data from like a, you know, CLIAs or JEFs or TINAs, you know, you need to go TBA, MBI model, sorry.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if you'd be willing to share with us the papers that outline these models?
Sure. Yeah, I will send you.
Wonderful, thank you.
Sure.
Any other questions? Okay. Then I can open up this conversation, see if anyone has any new exciting data they would like to talk about, tell us about.
I would like to actually bring up my postdoc, Johan Fernandez, is putting in a K99 for this next cycle, and he was interested in if any of you would be willing to take a look at his AIMS page. So if I could send that on to any or all of you, that would be fantastic.
Jill, did you send it on already?
I did not, but I'm happy to.
Okay, I know that I got a copy, so...
Johan,
this is Dan again. I can look at it.
Oh, great. Yeah, any feedback from
Johan, I'd be happy to look at it as well.
Mm-hmm. I'll send it to the group, and whoever wants to respond, go ahead and get your feedback back to Johan.
Great. Thank you. And the other thing I thought I would bring up is my grad students and I aren't going to be at RSA because one of my grad students is presenting at a gene environment workshop that I'm organizing at the zebrafish meeting. So CFAS will be represented there.
That's good. Could you send information on that to Jennifer? Should you put it on the website?
Sure, I'll do that.
Great. Thank you.
Any other exciting news, data, progress, problems?
This is Sarah. I just circulated a paper this morning for co-author review, which was, we may have talked about it previously, but we're looking at this is using CFAS-3 data, looking at the relationship between oppositional behaviors and executive functioning. So we're looking for feedback, and then we're going to submit it shortly.
Yeah, the way it said, dear esteemed colleagues, I
it wasn't you.
I thought it was a Chinese journal. Yeah.
I know, and I asked you to make a presentation,
Asking me to be on their board, you know?
Yeah.
But, okay.
Just a couple of things. I keep my fingers crossed, but Alex, who's an MD-PhD student with me, is in the running for the Gordas Awards. So I hope and he's going to be talking about our CFAS data there. Keep my fingers crossed. And then Nihal was awarded the Tim Card Award for the fetal alcohol study group, and she's going to be presenting some sex difference work in again with CFAS data.
Let Jennifer know about those too.
Yeah, just write a little description, and if there's a picture or something, we can pop it up to the web.
Great.
Okay.
And congratulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Petrenko, have you gotten any response to your request for forum participants?
We have a couple of families with teens and young adults who are willing to do the videos with us about kind of their experience living with FASD, so we can create videos to give hope to families of younger kids. We're still looking for families who want to do the video with kids in the 3 to 12 age range. We have several days open for that. For our focus group recruitment, I haven't gotten the updated from my coordinator, but I think we're at about four in each city. We're hoping for about 10, so we're open. I know people have been sending information out, and some families have said they've seen it in several different places, so I think it's getting out there. We're here and open and willing for anyone who contacts us. So if you have folks,
okay,
urge them to come along.
All righty, and so we'll see you next month.
Yeah, I'll be there from the 12th to the 21st. So.
I have a request. There's a group in northern Canada who is looking for old smartphones. If you have a smartphone you're no longer using and can erase all the data, it's not on a plan anymore, they would very much appreciate it. And they're not going to use it as a phone. They really want it for the camera aspect of it. And they want to do a food survey, and they're having the kids take pictures of their food before they eat it. And this is really in northern Canada, but they don't have any way, they don't have the money to buy the cameras. So if anyone has an old smartphone that they're not using and you want to donate it to this cause, and all it needs to do is take pictures, or if you have an old digital camera, that would be help. So just let me know, and I'll arrange for the postage and everything else.
Can we bring a few of them with us to RSA and give them to you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I forget the name of the tribe that they're working with, but they've been doing some work in iron deficiency.
Okay.
And so they want to look at this native diet that they're eating and see what's going on. So that would be useful to me, for me anyway. If anyone can do that, that'd be great. Any other, John, you're the only member of the Science Advisory Board on. Any comments?
I have none. See you next month.
Okay. And Bill, from NIAAA, any words of encouragement or whatever?
Well, we're looking forward to seeing everyone in San Diego and hearing about the progress. I did want to put something in everyone's minds for an agenda item for that meeting, and it's to kind of jumpstart or follow up on the data release for the consortium. We mentioned it at the face-to-face meeting. There's been a real big push to make data available as quickly as possible, and even to the point where there may be notices in the near future where all human data has to be shared in repositories if funded by NIAAA. So I think we need to seriously look at the release of phase two data and when we may want phase three data made available. And so if we could add that as an agenda item, that would be great. Because it's something that's very it's on everyone's minds here at NIH, and you know, we're fielding now questions from Congress on it. So our consortium really needs to be up front and not behind on this.
Sarah, you're on IRB. What are the issues in getting retroactive consents? Like recontacting the people and asking them consent to share the data?
Well, other than it being a very cumbersome task, I think there would have to be, you'd have to go through your IRB to reestablish that contact. I guess the first question I would ask would be, if there was no language, and I'm just throwing this out there, I don't know if it's a possibility, if there's no language at all about sharing, you know, the very old consents, these are, you know, 15 years ago, we didn't really talk about it, right? And so would the IRB then think, if it was completely de-identified data, was it, because I can go back in and analyze de-identified data, would that be able to be shared? And I don't know the answer to that.
Do you think that you can talk to the IRB people?
Yeah.
And see what you can find out?
Yeah, it might depend, you know, it might differ from institution to institution, but I can definitely start here and see what they say.
Sarah, can I add something real quick?
Yeah, of course.
So with another network, we've been in contact with the NIH office here for human subjects. I don't know if it's human subjects protection. I'm looking for her official title here. She's the human research protection officer here at NIH. And we had this discussion about another consortium where the consents don't explicitly I'm looking at my notes here. If the consents explicitly say that, well, I'm sorry, if there isn't language that suggests that the samples will be shared after completion of the study. So if you have language in the consents that say the samples will be destroyed or the data will be destroyed, that's one thing. But if it doesn't really say that, then from what we've been told, de-identified data do not need IRB approval to be used after the study if the consents don't say that.
If they don't explicitly. So that's kind of what where I'm going is if it doesn't explicitly say we won't share your data.
If it is de-identified.
If you're agnostic. If it has to be de-identified, which won't apply to all of the data in our consortium. You know, if it's not de-identifiable. But, you know, if you're sort of agnostic on the sharing when you wrote the consent, because honestly, that was the state of the research field at that time, then, you know, but I'll definitely, talk to RIRB and Bill, maybe you and I could talk about it separately. Okay.
Yep. So,
Sarah Jost, and she's involved in her IRB at Florida, what they will say.
So this is Bill. I know that one of the problems you ran into is because these were from Finland and South Africa, and so, you know, it didn't really matter what the U.S. rules were because they had different rules. So that was an issue. But for the ones collected in the States, I know that with a new common rule that's supposed to go into effect in July, but it's been delayed a few times, that de-identified data will no longer be considered human subjects data. So I think that will also tend to open things up a little bit.
Yeah, I think the thing about the Finnish data, though, is that we specifically knew that there was discussion about that data at the time, you know, that it was not to be shared. But that's not true. But we were sort of agnostic on all the other sites, but that was a very specific case. I don't know about South Africa.
We knew that in Finland they would not allow us to do the study
if
the data were going to be shared outside of Finland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was very, very clear and upfront. And so we knew that going in, but it was more important to get the data than to worry about data sharing.
Right.
The South Africa with the Jacobsons, I would have to go back and look. And I'm not sure if they've ever responded to Tatiana or not.
They did not. They did not.
Yeah, and I remember we had some challenges there at the time, and I don't honestly remember how it was resolved, if it was resolved, in terms of sharing, even within the consortium.
I think we might take an opportunity at RSA, if they're there, and they should be,
mm-hmm.
to see what we can...
They will be.
See what we can obtain. Okay?
Yep.
So, Jill, write me down a lot of notes. And we'll go from there. All right. So, I think we have plenty on our agenda for the San Diego meeting. We'll go to 3:30. If we're going to go past 7, then I will buy pizzas and bring them in. And we'll go from there. Okay? That sound reasonable?
Yep.
Thanks. Yes.
Great. All right. Well, then, everybody have a great holiday weekend, and talk to you at RSA.
Great. Thanks. Bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Okay.